Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Nico Riesgo and Lisa Marie Latino. How you guys doing?
Good, Russ.
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Well, you know, baseball started, and we're getting this show right underway. We're going to get Brian Compton on in a few minutes. We're going to talk about the Mets. You know, Nico, before we start things off, I was talking to Lisa. We're going to talk about the Yankees in a minute. But the one thing I found now is in a box score or an AP recap, and I'm not saying the AP recaps are the best because they're not, you can no longer find attendance figures for Major League Baseball. So, like, for historical purposes now, you are really going to have to dig if you want to know how many people were at a game.
Wow. Why is that now? Is that something they're trying to hide their numbers?
It certainly seems that way because it always used to be in everything, and now I can no longer find it. Perfect example is, you know, like when Ike Davis was hitting a homer into the seats in Florida, and we'll talk about this with Brian too, there was nobody there. Nobody.
No, and even watching the Yankees this weekend, you know, in the rich people's seats behind home plate and behind the dugout, it was barren.
That never
yeah,
used to be, right, Lisa? That was an impossibility at the old Yankee Stadium, right?
Oh, impossibility. But, I mean, the tickets are quadruple, if not more than what they were. And in this economy, it's gotten worse and worse. Maybe when they built the new Yankee Stadium and they were planning things out, they figured things were going to get better. But as we all know, things have just only gotten worse. And who could afford to go? $9 for a beer, just for a beer. To park, it's like $20.
$35.
You can't go to 25. Okay. You can't go to
no,
baseball
35. No, it's 35 to park at Yankee Stadium.
Well, my point is proven. You can't even, I mean, I take public transportation, and so, you know, you can't go. How could somebody like me, 27 years old, go? Unless you're a multimillionaire, you can't, because that's like, puts you back like a month. You can't do that. It's ridiculous. It's disgusting. It's actually disgusting. When I see the new Yankee Stadium, I look at it in disgust.
Yeah, see, that's a shame. Although your Yankees at least are 2-1, and they did make pretty good work of the Tigers. They gave up on the Sunday game, which happens sometimes. But you have to be pretty pleased. The Tigers are certainly no pushover.
I'm pleased, but, you know, Sunday, yesterday's game, is a microcosm of what I'm afraid is going to happen this season. AJ being shaky. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I mean, it would have been nice to get a sweep, but, you know, AJ's our third starter, comes in, is shaky. The offense does his job. You know, there were fireworks going off in the Bronx yesterday, but because of shaky pitching, we lost. And this is exactly what I said last week I was afraid of. It's just going to be up and down, topsy-turvy, and we're only going to be as good as our day starting pitcher. Our offense is going to be fine. We're going to be totally fine. Tex is off to a hot start, which we haven't seen in a couple years.
True.
But the pitching, it scares the hell out of me.
Well, I got to say, if the pitching scares Lisa for the Yankees, then the Tigers have to be terrified.
They do. This Brad Penny pickup, I mean, everybody has been kind of on pins and needles waiting to see how he's going to do. And then they throw him right in the fire at Yankee Stadium. I'm not going to really hold that against them because, you know, it's tough to get a win anywhere, much less Yankee Stadium on the road. We'll see how he does at home. I think the Tigers can definitely count on Verlander to be sharp, but he just had to go up against CeCe. He pitched pretty well. The Tigers definitely have some question marks in their starting pitcher. I think it kind of revolves around Porcello, the young kid. If he's going to come out and have a breakout year, I think they could be okay.
Yeah, Porcello's a good one, but that team, they just have issues. They just seem to have issues. And yes, Miguel Cabrera can hit, and it seems like he is going to still be 60% of that team's offense.
Oh, yeah, he's a dominant factor, and he needs some help. Victor Martinez has got to step up and produce some runs. I love this Brendan Bosch kid, this young rookie that they got up last year. They called him up. He had some success early in the year. He kind of tailed off in the second half. They kind of found some holes in his swing. He went back to work this offseason, worked on him. He's coming out hot, and I think he went 4-for-4 against the Yankees this week and got him that win Sunday.
Which is always a good thing. Anybody who goes 4-for-4 against the Yankees is good in my book. I like him.
He's a keeper.
No, he is a keeper. No question about it. But at least, you know, again, the Yankees still have good enough hitting that even if A.J. Burnett, even if a couple of the guys don't give him stellar performances every week, they're still going to win games with that lineup.
Oh, games could definitely be won on offense, but championships can't. And every October, it's the proven fact. You could have the best offense in the world, and the Yankees for years, you know, save for 2009, have proven that. But, you know, great pitching cools off that great hitting, and the Yankees just need to get just another solid starter for that rotation.
Yes,
you know, a 1-2, it's fine. They're going to be fine. And God forbid one of them gets injured, then I'm going to be really scared.
Well, you're going to be really scared with our next guest, and he's Brian Compton, normally of NHL.com, but today wants to be part of our Mets Bitch session. And, Brian, before I say hello, Lisa, we are going to welcome him in by saying, what the hell has Brian Cash been doing by ripping the Mets for Pedro Feliciano? Could they have not seen he pitched 80-something games last year and was not going to be the same pitcher? Brian, did you laugh at that or what?
It was comical. I mean, they knew what they were getting into. Nobody forced them to give him $8 million, right?
No, I mean, I didn't understand that. And the fact that he was ripping him in the press, you know, somebody in my household said, hey, Jerry Manuel was desperate, and they used Feliciano as much as possible. And, yeah, I mean, that's basically what happened.
Yeah, and if you listen to Dan Worthen, I mean, he said Pedro wanted to pitch every day. And, you know, in the situation the Mets are in, when you needed your bullpen, usually by the fifth inning of every game, I mean, where else is he supposed to turn?
No, it's true. So it's funny because with the Mets doing as well as they did against Florida, or really Florida just really doing poorly because Florida still can't field the ball at all. You would think that would take the sting out of this show, but it's not going to, because I still think most Met fans can look past that Florida series and say, okay, a few good things happen, but maybe Florida is just worse than we thought. And what about nobody in the stands? I mean, this is probably the worst second game of the year. Guys are hitting homers, and I see like 12 Met fans in the stands.
Yeah, second game of the year is usually tough no matter what. Obviously, you'd think it'd be better in Miami since the weather is better.
On a Sunday?
Yeah, no, I know. But it's just that Miami is such a terrible pro sports town, Russ. I mean, there's just...
It is.
I mean, the Heat have, you know, three of the biggest stars in the NBA, and they have nobody in the stands half the time. So to think the Marlins are going to draw in a football stadium is pretty silly. I'm interested to see how they're going to do when their new park opens.
Yeah, me too. Now, Nico, you being an ex-Met, I'm sure there's still a little love in your heart for them. You always say that you want to talk about them. What do you think's going on with them? How do you think the Madoff thing has impacted them? And you being an ex-player, you would have to be looking at next year thinking they're not going to have much money to spend. They're probably going to pare down their payroll, correct?
Yeah. No, I hope that maybe they'll sell that franchise. You know, I'd love to own them or be a share owner of that franchise someday and help lead them. I do have a deep passion for the Mets. When I played for the Mets, there's something about that uniform. When I put it on, it seemed like I turned into Superman. I don't know what it was, but I played my heart out, and I gave them everything I had, and I left everything there on the field, and it paid off for me. They ended up trading me, but I had one of my best seasons ever. I won the Florida State League MVP there and had a lot of success. I think it starts from the top in ownership, and I think it's trickled down. The new general manager, he's going to need time. The new manager, they're going to need time. They're going to need probably about 4 or 5 years of rebuilding. They've got a lot of older veterans on their team that are getting injuries, you know, quickly. They can't last the whole year. And they just need to totally, I think, retool, get some young guys in there, some blood, and start winning some ball games.
They do. Now, for people that don't know, and for Brian and people listening out there, Nico actually still has the Mets record for Class A for St. Lucie, I think, with like 40-something steals. What did you have, like 46 steals?
Yeah, 46 steals as a first baseman. I was second behind Kenny Lofton.
Nice.
In the league. So, yeah. So.
All that means is you're old, Nico. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
So, Brian, going into this season, well, actually, let's go back even further, Brian. 2 years ago, I know we've been friendly online, and maybe you read my stuff, maybe you don't, but I remember talking to the iron workers who actually put up all those great iron statues and all the new ballparks at, like, Citizens Bank and all the new ones that went up. And I remember seeing these guys at one of the trading card shows I was at and talking to them and saying, hey, what did the Mets order? Did they get a Seaver one? Did they get a Casey Stengel one, a Gil Hodges? And the guy goes, nothing. We called the Mets. They didn't want anything. And I knew right then and there was a problem. And then as we saw the stadium becoming fully erected and we saw that first season flow by, you know, the Mets were essentially the Brooklyn Dodgers. So then the second year, you know, the team isn't as good. All of a sudden they try and Mets it up a little bit by doing a few things. And even my own wife, who is from Queens, it made her sick to walk over the Brooklyn Bridge in the ballpark because people Brooklyn and Queens don't like each other. So that's another thing that they really screwed up on. So you have all that going, and then we start hearing the whispers last year about Madoff, and it seems like the New York Times were really the only people that stuck with it, because every time the Mets said it's false and it's not true and everything else, the Times stuck with it. So now we're in this situation where they're losing $50 million a year. MLB is essentially taking over. We pretty much realize that Sandy Alderson was brought in there to sort of watch MLB's investment. And I got to tell you, and I'm older than you, I've got the same feeling about the Mets now than I did when N. Donald Grant owned them. The only difference is, yeah, they've spent a lot more money. It's just not their money.
Yeah, you know, it's a fair comparison, Russ. I mean, my biggest question this season anyway is, God, what happens if they're in the hunt? I mean, they're certainly not going to win the division, but what happens if they're in the hunt for the wild card that last week of July? Are they really going to trade Jose Reyes? I mean, what, can you imagine the backlash from the fans that they have left? I mean, that would just be insane.
Lisa, what do you think about that? What do you think, if they were in the hunt, do you think they would trade Reyes because of contract, or do you think they'd be forced to keep him?
Given their track record, they would probably trade him.
Now, Brian, I'll tell you, in our book, and I hate giving a plug like this, but I'm going to have to, in our book, Strike 3, you can get it at Amazon, Lulu, you can go to Sportsology and find it. The issue was when the Montreal Expos were league-owned and that situation came up at the trading deadline, they wouldn't even call up players because they didn't want to spend the money for the call-ups. Because I think, and again, I wrote this book and, you know, my failing memory sometimes, I think it was like $25,000 a call-up, something like that, at that time. They didn't want to pay it. So I don't know what that means for the Mets this year, but I can't imagine that they're going to make any additions without subtractions.
No, it's crazy. And, you know, it's just I just don't understand why anybody would spend $250 million to own less than 51% of this team. I mean, that's like being a glorified season ticket holder. What is the point? Why would you just help these guys out? I think in the end they're going to have to sell the whole thing, Russ.
Yeah, I think though if you do spend that $250,000, you do finally get entrance to like that Excelsior Club that never seems to be on my ticket.
You can have a steak and watch R.A. Dickey, right?
Now, Nico, what do you think about all this? I mean, you played baseball at a time where it was booming until the strike. Then after the strike, they certainly had some trouble. But before then, baseball was booming. They didn't have any of these clubs where you, if you had a ticket, you didn't necessarily get entrance into some place in the stadium, so you can watch eat a steak and watch these players. Stadiums cost so much money. As we said, Yankee Stadium's $35 to park. How does all that sit with you?
It's a bad, very, very bad taste in my mouth. It reminds me of the 1994 strike and a lot of the animosity surrounding that. I mean, the numbers are out of whack. I mean, the game is broken. I mean, anyone that sits there and harps about the free market and the enterprises and that these players have a right to get $200-300 million and all this kind of stuff, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's got to the point where they need to just scrap the whole free market system, put a system in place that makes some absolute sense. Put a cap of $10 million a year per player, something like that. Get the salaries down, get the tickets down, get the parking down, get all the pricing down, cut them in half, and we got to start all over.
You know, and also get the egos down. I mean, I grew up, you know, in the Yankees late 90s dynasty years. And from when they first won the World Series in 1996 to when they won the World Series, this, you know, in 2009, it's two completely different worlds. The experience of going to the game, the connection you feel with the players, it was totally different. Players used to... You know, I met Derek Jeter, I remember, in 1997 at a matinee game. He was signing autographs down the first baseline. I would watch the players walk in and walk out, and they would talk to you. And now it's just so business-like, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting that, you know, a girl that, you know, I was 12 when the Yankees won the first time. So, like, 12-year-olds just now getting into baseball, they're never going to experience that. They can experience that at minor league games, but these major league teams, everything is so untouchable.
No, it's true.
You know what? 1996 will be the last time Yankees go into a World Series as the underdog.
Yeah, that's true, Brian. And we talked about this on the show, Brian.
Yeah,
but
it's not even about them being – I'm not even talking about the physical game. I'm talking about the everything else, the business aspect of it. The business aspect ruined baseball. It ruined baseball for the fan. Nope, we were saying it before you got on the phone, Brian. Like, how could a family of four that basically lives paycheck to paycheck afford to go to a game? $35
right.
to park. It was $10 for a hot dog. Like, you can't feed your kid. It's terrible.
It really is.
Yeah. And look, and if we're going to blame somebody, I will be the first, and I will blame Bud Selig, because he's the one who right now has made MLB a corporate success. Every company under the sun seems to be a sponsor, but nobody's in the stands. And, Brian, I'll tell you what, I'm a pretty good box score nerd, and I like research, and I know you do too. I mean, with your with your real job, you do a lot of that. Now, I just looked through two full recaps and two box scores, completely different games. I looked under the Met game, I looked under the Yankee game, and again, this is under the AP one. Not only can I not find an attendance figure in the article, can't find it in the box score anymore, which used to be, you know, for a historical perspective. That has to be another thing that baseball has just taken out because they don't want to be embarrassed by these attendance figures.
And yet, even the Yankees on opening day are announcing a sellout. I mean, anybody who watched the game saw all those corporate rich seats down by the bottom that were completely empty. I mean, so where are those people?
Yeah.
You're not going to spend $1,200 a ticket to not show up, regardless of what the weather is. I mean, if you spend that much money, I'm sitting in that seat. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I mean, they're in the Hamptons.
A lot of numbers that we don't have access to, Russ, that they're not posting to, that they're hiding, are their numbers from their media. A lot of their business model, they've transferred over from the live ticket sales over to MLB.tv. So those same people that are missing the game, buying the games online and watching all the games, so their revenues, they're probably making, I would say, close to $1 billion in revenues just from their media. So they don't care about live attendance anymore.
No, it's really kind of sad, and that used to be the biggest thing about baseball. Hey, the weather's great. Let's go out to a ball game. Even if the team stinks, we'd sit and talk for nine innings. We'd watch the game. You'd have some fun. You'd eat some Cracker Jacks. You wouldn't be broke on the way out. You wouldn't have to, like, you know, empty out your wallet, and you'd have a good time. But you're right. The digital format has certainly done that for them, and I'll be honest. I mean, me being a Met fan, I do like watching other games, but there's so many other games now on national TV. I didn't get MLB.tv this year. I didn't do it because I said there is no way I could invest money like that in a bad team like the Mets. So I'll just watch the national games. And what I've done and what people can do is just go to MLB.com. They'll show you all the games that are going to be national games. Pick out the ones you want. Put it on your calendar. Make sure you watch it.
What do you think about that, Nico?
I mean, I didn't even invest this year. I invested in some tickets.
You know
tickets,
what? I haven't got it either. I mean, it's not the marketing is just not there. They're not reaching the fans. They can care less about the fans. It's either you're going to pay these high prices or you're not going to enjoy the game, and we're priced out. It's get to the point where it's at the breaking point now. Something's got to change. And I blame the union a lot.
When is he, like, out of office? Isn't he retiring soon?
No, I think they just re-upped him for a few more years. So he's not out soon enough. It was going to be in the next year or two, and now I believe that's been pushed back for a few more. But here's the thing, Brian. We talk about it. We know what the attendance is. We know that they're making money, I guess, to some degree. But here's an example of, like, the Mets season ticket situation. I had some season tickets at Shea, and when they were switching over to the new stadium, I think it went up, like, I don't know, four times the amount.
Right.
So I said, screw it. I'm just going to go to opening day. This year I'm going again. I've been – this will be like my 23rd consecutive opening day. So obviously I have some sort of sickness, but I do it. And so – but this year I did buy a six-pack of tickets, which included opening day, and the tickets were 100-something a ticket for all six games. They were practically giving them to me where that first year in the stadium, you couldn't even touch it. Even the second year, you wouldn't even have thought about it because the prices were so high. 3 years into it, that's where they're at.
Yeah, well, I think for a lot of people, the novelty of the new park is worn off. I mean, once you've seen the park and the team's not very good, you're not going to keep going back. So the situation that they're in this year in particular, just in dire need of any kind of cash. They're obviously lowering the prices. But, you know, I think for the casual fan, as long as the team is winning, and who knows if that's going to happen, but, you know, they did take 2 out of 3 in their first series, so... as long as the team wins, people are going to, I think, push aside what's going on with the Wilpons and just go to the ballpark.
Well, here's the thing, though. Yes, they can push it aside for now, but, Nico, come Memorial Day, if they don't have those new investors, it's been written that they're out of payroll money at that point.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I think Bobby Valentine, I've heard him, he's trying to get some Japanese money in here. And I don't think there's going to be a problem finding money for the Mets. It's just a matter of whether or not the Wilpons want to give up control. I think they're
They don't seem to want to. And I have to say, Brian, I'll say it. You don't have to say it. But I think the Wilpons, you know, they did a good job early on as owners for the Mets. And then greed stepped in and they got their new stadium. And then they got their TV network. And now we found out that all of it was pretty much – bought with ill-gotten gains, and it's not all of it. I mean, there was $90 million dirty money, but Madoff was making money this whole time, so they kept investing and using the leverage in it. And now, you know, you look all these years later and you see that really the stadium and the TV network were fueled by a lot of Madoff money, and I don't know, as a Met fan, it's got to kind of make you sick, right? I mean, nobody's happy about this.
No, it's tough, Russ. And, I got to tell you, I mean, Fred's on the record saying he had no idea that what Bernie was doing. And if it comes to light that he did know, I mean, everything that he's ever accomplished with this ball club is going to be tarnished.
Right. And look, he could say that, and I know that has to be his defense, and we all have opinions here. I have a hard time believing it, especially since, you know, Merrill Lynch warned the Mets, hey, you shouldn't invest with Madoff, and they ignored that. They used to go to public functions together. I think they even used to go to Temple together, from what I understand. I have a hard time believing it. But we'll see what happens with it. But as far as the team, what are your expectations, Brian, and how many wins? I've been on record saying I think they're going to get 70, but I also think by the All-Star break, if things aren't going right and guys like Beltran and K-Rod and even potentially Reyes, if they all went bye-bye, they have a potential to get 100 losses. But – what's your feeling?
Well, I don't think they're going to lose 100 games. I think it basically comes down to health. I mean, if they stay healthy, the lineup is good enough to compete with anybody. And pitching. I mean, if they can get something out of guys like Chris Young, who I think they could if he stays healthy, and Chris Capuano, you know, I don't have much expectations for him. And when does Johan Santana come back? There's a lot of question marks with this team. But I think if everything goes right, and there's no reason to believe that will because it's the Mets, I think they could probably get to maybe 82, 83. I think they can be in the mix in July. And like I said before, if they are in the mix and they trade Jose Reyes, my goodness, the backlash from the fan base is going to be unbelievable.
It would be tremendous. Nico, we could do a who's on first gag with this because – you know, if he's healthy, he should be batting like sixth for the Mets and the fourth pitcher because it seems like every other guy they have on the team you have to use that phrase. And just as an example, Jason Bay may or may not even make, you know, Mets opening day, the home opener again. What do you think is going on with Jason Bay? You know, certainly these are injuries that can happen to anybody, but why does it seem to happen always when the Mets are signing free agents?
You know, I think it's the whole transfer of Jason Bay. He had a nice little home that he found right there in Boston with that green monster. That wall was very friendly to him. And then he's got to switch leagues. He's got to go to the back of the National League, get reaccustomed to those pitches. National League ballpark's a little bit bigger, not as hitting friendly as the American League parks. And he's just the injuries, going into a new territory, a new right field, the new grass is different. Just getting accustomed. Jason Bay's not going to be the same player as he was with the Boston Red Sox. I just don't think. I think they gave him too much money. I think they just made a bad investment. He should have stayed right where he was at.
Yeah, and Brian, we all knew that Citi Field was huge, but again, when the Mets were signing Jason Bay, I don't know if you saw the chart, but Rico in the office there made a chart showing how many home runs Jason Bay could really hit that would have gone out in Citi Field, and then after the first season we saw for the games that he played, it pretty much wasn't going to happen. So, and the Mets seem to do this to their fan base a lot, because they even said a couple weeks ago ticket sales are, you know, ahead of last year. So what can you believe from this organization, Brian? That's what I want to know.
You know, it's tough. And, you know, it really goes back to what we were talking about before. Like, when is enough money, right? Jason Bay could have stayed in Boston, could have set up his family for three more generations. Why do you need a fifth year? With A-Rod opting out of his contract, I guarantee you CeCe Sabathia is going to opt out after this year.
Yep.
When is enough money? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, we even talked about that last week, Brian. We talked about Mike Hampton turning down, if memory serves me, something like $117 million from the Mets at the time, and pretty much went on to ruin his career because, you know, he goes to Colorado, he changes the way he pitches because he's given up too many homers, he starts getting hurt, he starts getting thrown around to all other teams so they could all chip in for his salary. And before you know it, you know, Mike Hampton's retired, and it really wasn't worth it for him. Maybe he's counting his cash now, and maybe his kids, you know, got a better education. But, yeah, in the end, it's still – you still look at it and say, when is enough? And I'll – Brian, I'll go back to you in a minute, but Lisa, we've talked about it. It's in our book. When do you think baseball should get a salary cap, or do you think that's never going to happen because of the Yankees? Maybe we lost Lisa there. Nico, what do you think about a salary cap?
I can answer that. I think it's going to happen. I think it's got to happen right here after the 2011 season. The bargaining agreement is going to be up for renewal. They've got to come up with something. I think the union has got to give into this free market system. They've got to be able to see the light that it's broken. They've got to put some type of salary caps and constraints in place. The payrolls are getting way out of hand, and the game is suffering for it.
I agree. My phone was ringing off the hook, so I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
I had to put you on mute for a second because I could tell it was disrupting. I agree with Nico. I mean, even though I am a Yankees fan, you know, I'm not blind to the fact how the game has taken a hit, it's taken a fall, and these players need to be knocked down a peg. I was talking to a girlfriend. She saw Mark Teixeira on TV. She's never watched a baseball game in her life, but I had it on, and she saw Teixeira. She's like, oh, he's cute. I'm like, yeah, he makes like 20-something million a year. And she's like, what? Like, this is how much baseball players make, and this is a girl who thinks it's still football season. You know what I'm saying? That baseball is played on Sundays. And I was telling her just a little bit about the ins and the outs and what the Yankees payroll was. And she's like, that is ridiculous to play baseball? And I said, yeah, they get paid more than actors, more than doctors. It's ridiculous. And there just needs to be a level playing field like the NFL, even though the NFL right now is in a tizzy, but that's why the NFL has been so successful in the past, because teams like a Green Bay from a small market can compete with the big guys from New York. And we need that in baseball as well.
No question. And I'll tell you guys, we're going to go into a little overtime here, so for the people listening, you will be able to get this in archives as soon as we're done. But perfect example, Brian, of the way salaries are out of whack, go look at Carl Crawford. He's hitting seventh for the Boston Red Sox, making $142 million. my question to you is, and again, I grew up in an era where Roberto Clemente was maybe a guy that they're saying Carl Crawford plays like. I think Clemente would have made like $300 million because of his output. But look at Carl Crawford. I think he's 0 for 7. What do you think, Brian?
No, these contracts are out of control. And, you know, the best example that you can use about this discussion, guys, is how many teams open up spring training with zero chance of making the playoffs? A dozen, probably?
Yeah.
I mean, because
yeah.
they just can't compete with the bigger city markets. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, actually, he was, just to get it right, Crawford was 0 for 7, and then when they put him in the 7th spot, he went 2 for 4 with a ribby. So
there you go.
Too much pressure. Too much pressure for the money. But you do make a good point. We've talked about the haves and have-nots, and I've fought with Nico over this for the last couple seasons. I'll start telling you who's out, and he'll start arguing with me a little bit, saying, no, well, this team has a chance, and this team has a chance, and certainly, Nico, we know that the wild card, I would say, fakely keeps a lot of teams in it. But if you did have to say out of the 30 teams, how many of them were real contenders? And we're not going to hold you to the number, but what would be the number, Nico? What would you say? How many of them?
I'd say there's probably 10 competitive teams in MLB.
And I think that's right. I think 10 out of the 30 is right. And so, Brian, I had the same thought in my head about this new Florida place. I can't imagine after one season, maybe two, that they don't go back to what they are now as far as what the crowd is, unless all of a sudden Jeffrey Loria is going to spend money, because let's face it, Florida won all their two World Series with Wayne Huizenga because he'd spend money, he wouldn't, and he won. Jeffrey Loria doesn't spend money. He proved that with the Expos.
Right.
It's in our book. To me, he's one of the worst owners in sports. Now, when he gets a stadium, will he all of a sudden spend money, or do you think he'll do a Pittsburgh Pirates and pocket it and just sort of go status quo?
I think that's what you're going to see, Russ. It's just you're going to see the novelty wear off real quick. The biggest problem with having a baseball team in Miami is three-quarters of the baseball fans that they have root for teams up here, whether it's the Mets or the Yankees or Philadelphia. They're all transplanted people from the Northeast. So I don't see people suddenly switching their allegiance because the Florida Marlins play in a new ballpark. I just don't see it happening.
No, and that makes sense. Lisa, what do you think when you see like a game like the Marlins or even the Indians now, who can't even draw 10,000 early in the season? What do you think needs to be done besides the salary cap? Could we ever imagine ticket prices getting lowered, Lisa? I mean, is that a possibility?
Kind of has to, no? I mean, there's got to be something done. I mean, they have to. I mean, even the Yankees, like I was saying to you before, and we were saying at the old Yankee Stadium, this would never happen. The seats were empty behind home plate and behind the dugouts. Just something has to be done. It's just, you have to give it, it has to go back to the fans. It's got to stop being such a business, and it's got to start getting back to its roots. And until there's going to be empty ballparks all around the country.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Lisa. You know, you gave away your age, which I guess you feel confident with. It's fine. Some women don't want to do it, but good for you.
I'm 27. Who cares if I give it away? But
no,
I guess in sports talk conversation, yeah, that's like the reverse. But anyway, go ahead.
No, but my point is, 5 years ago, how many times would your friend say, hey, let's just go catch a Yankee game just on the spur of the moment, and you go, and how often does it happen now?
Okay, 5 years ago, I would say I probably went, I mean, I'm not a season ticket holder.
Mm-hmm.
I probably went to about 10 games, 10 to 12
okay.
games a year, a dozen games a year. Last year, I went to two. And the reason
wow.
why I went is because the tickets were offered to me because I refused to pay a dollar. Because when I go, I'm dropping $100 just to park and food and, you know, and everything. So that's it. I mean, kids my age can't afford to go. We can't afford to go, not at all. I mean, I'm offered Mets tickets all the time, but I haven't taken that trip out yet.
So you haven't even gone there. Now, Brian, you have kids. I don't think they're of age to go yet, right? But
my daughter's 5, so yeah.
Yeah, so you've been bringing her. That's right. I did see the pictures.
Yeah.
So how does that sit with you, just as being a dad? Forget about that you're a writer and you make a lot of money. And no, I'm just kidding. But just how does that sit with you as a dad, thinking about, you know, how am I going to go with my kids and have a good time, especially if they ask me, or are you going to start hitting, you know, the Ducks games?
Yeah, it's tough, Russ, because, you know, some of my favorite memories as a kid were my dad taking me to Shea, you know, and it's just
– yep.
It's so hard. I took my family to one game last year. We went to fireworks night because I knew my daughter would stay interested mm-hmm. and would like the fireworks at the end, but it's too expensive, man. You know, I've gone to a Cyclones game. I thought that was a pretty cool experience, being at Coney Island and everything, but
yep.
These ticket prices are just out of control. They really are. And the shame of it is, if you're a kid, if you're an 8 or a 9 year old kid and you're a Mets fan or whoever, or a Yankee fan, you're not going to see the end of a World Series game because you're going to fall asleep because they don't end until 11:30, 12 o'clock. It's crazy.
Now, that's we'll go with this as the last topic, but you do hit on something that has been talked about for years. And I don't know what the answer is, Nico. Is it that the people at Fox don't care, or the people at Fox can't sell advertising at a you know, 6 o'clock time instead of a 8 o'clock or some of these games start at like 8:20 for the World Series. Is it all just about the advertising, Nico, and really the game is secondary at this point?
Yeah, I think the leaders of Fox Television, I think they're from Australia or something like that. I don't think they have any concept what it is about the American game of baseball. They're just totally rating, totally nighttime television, prime time. That's their whole operandi, and we got to live with it. Take it or leave it.
Isn't the national championship game for the NCAA, doesn't it start at like kickoff like at 9:30 or something ludicrous like that?
It probably does. I don't pay attention to it. Brian, you have any idea?
Yeah, I think it's like 9:20 or something like that.
9:20.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter about that, you know, kids are complaining because – you know, this has been an exciting NCAA tournament, and a lot of kids are into it, but it's like 2 hours past their bedtime for the game to even start, so they have to miss it.
I will say this, though. If Butler wins, people can go to Sportsology, and you could sign up, and you could win free dog food from a dog food company, just so you know. That's neither here nor there.
That would be a great upset. That would be.
I don't even know, Nico. I cover the Frozen Four. I don't cover the Final Four, so it's not something that comes in my vocabulary. But I do put it up on the website because a lot of people love it, obviously. But, Brian, last thing. So, baseball, as far as when you were a kid and as far as how you are now, what did it mean to you then? What does it mean to you now?
It meant a whole lot more to me then, Russ. Obviously the Mets were – you know, the Mets were the team in New York when I was 9, 10 years old. I mean, they had New York City. They were the team. I mean, the Mets
they
were Gooden and Strawberry and Hernandez and Carter, and the list goes on and on. You know, I'm just more, obviously, more of a hockey guy now. I mean, I still root for the Mets. I don't have high expectations for them, but, you know, but with my dad taking me to Shea all the time and with Shea being torn down, obviously the Mets of yesteryear are much more special to me than they are now.
Yeah, no question. Can't argue it. Guys, thanks so much for this discussion. That's another edition of the game, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Okay, thanks, Russ.
All right,
thanks,
see you guys.
Russ. Okay,
thanks,
bye.
Russ. All right, bye.